And now, sports and other stuff. The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
I thought our kids showed some resilience tonight and some grit and battled back.
Coming out of the gates, we played extremely well. I thought our ball movement was outstanding.
We were just not playing that correctly, and it really gassed us there in the first quarter.
I didn't think they were going to go away.
Honestly, I don't really remember, but honestly.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
No.
Save rebound. They score! Shen! He scored! And it's 3-1!
Thank you. It was disappointing, frustrating, and embarrassing.
He shoots, he scores! Clayton Keller, OT winner in mini! Hoffman to the forehand, scores! Overtime winner!
Obviously, it was a difficult situation for everyone, especially him.
Tired of being traded. Hey, that's not a good thing.
I think this will be a cold Olympics.
Yeah, he's saying he explained. I touched the stone.
They both moved it together.
That was a two-handed move there.
They got outshot from three-point range by a bad shooting Mississippi State team.
For 3 years, it has been the one feel-good thing about Missouri basketball, the way that the community has responded to Ryan.
And welcome in. It's a party, and nobody brought anything. Apparently, I don't get those invitations out soon enough. Alongside Jay Sparks, I'm George Young, joining the fray here this afternoon. Interested observers, Cameron Thomas from the University of Missouri J School, and also from Smith and Middle School, Sterling Brown, sitting in here for this afternoon. Opening montage, Missouri women's basketball postgame from last night. Kentucky head coach Matt Mitchell. Head coach Robin, oddly enough, he uses grit and determination and all the rest of that stuff as well. Head coach Robin Pinchton, and then Matt Mitchell back at it again. They opened up with a 2-3 zone. It didn't work real well. Missouri shot 79% in the first quarter.
That's decent, I guess.
Yeah. You know, if you're a head coach, you look at that and you go, well, you know, yeah, we shot 79%, but there were some missed opportunities. Three of them.
I'm looking for that teachable moment.
Yeah. Well, you missed one layup, so there's your teachable moment. Head coach Robin Pinchon again on Kentucky coming back. Kentucky scored 32 points in the fourth quarter, which is as many as they scored the entire first half. And then Jordan Ferris was asked this long math level, high level math question about a scoring drought during a 5 minute time frame of the third quarter from this time to this time. And she got lost in the question.
Mm-hmm.
God love her. She tried to come up with an answer.
Right.
And she was bluffing her way through till Sophie called her on it.
Yeah.
And said, you don't know what you're talking about. And she went, yeah, you're right. I don't.
You're right.
Pair of goals from Braden Shen. He not only had a pair of goals, he also had a five-minute fighting major 3 seconds into the game last night.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah. Blues win. Fox Sports Midwest with the call. Henrik Lundqvist, New York Rangers, still not very happy with his team that's in front of him. He used the word disappointing, frustrating, and embarrassing. Fox Sports Arizona and TSN, a pair of overtime goal winners from Arizona and Ottawa, both identical 4-3 scores. Scott Perry, New York Knicks, on the Kristaps Porzingis ACL injury. Isaiah Thomas, he has gone from coast to coast, much like his basketball game, his game, and he brought his luggage with him as well, as he has been shipped off to L.A. and going back from L.A. to Cleveland is Jordan Clarkson. Mike Tirico, who knew the Winter Olympics could be cold? Did you know that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, here in America, they train at Lake Placid, New York. It's pretty cold up there.
It is. It's very cold up there. And a curling controversy in the China versus Swiss matchup in mixed doubles.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. People touching stones.
Don't
a derisive and a two-handed touch.
Don't touch my stones.
With two hands?
With any hands.
Okay. But you have that lovely handle.
Paid a lot for those stones. Go on.
I'm sure, yeah. In the end.
Oh, yes.
There was an extra end played.
There was.
And Swiss come out on top. despite numerous holes in their game, they came out on top.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Pretty cheesy, wasn't it?
It was.
Okay.
Not very cultured.
No, it really wasn't. just keep slicing away till we get to the bottom of that. Opening ceremonies are tonight, by the way.
Yep.
They've actually already happened, because as we talked about the time difference yesterday, plus 15.
Sure.
For those of you.
That's easy.
Or plus 3 and just switch it from PM now to AM.
Right.
So there you go. It's now 7 o'clock. People are enjoying their morning latte in Pyeongchang, South Korea, I'm sure. There's a Starbucks in every corner there, right?
Why not?
Okay. 442-8255 is the phone number. 442-8255. So we're not really, today officially starts the Olympics, but we're a day and a half into it, and we already have two controversies. One about the flag bearer for the United States and the alleged illegal touching of the stone and the mixed doubles for curling. And here's the, it's gone. Listening to that highlight, Jay, I think I learned that nobody does over-the-top understated better than the Brits.
Well, I mean, that's stiff upper lip and all. That's their whole thing.
I mean, he's in there talking about explaining that, he may have touched the stone and his color commentator along with him. She does the... Don't believe that for a minute.
Yep.
Don't believe that for a minute.
Curling, baby.
That's right. You're all about that.
I am. I'm living that curling life.
Are you?
Yeah.
On the show today, Brad Luce from the University of Missouri. He's actually with the Tiger Scholarship Fund now. He was formerly on the Kim Anderson staff, and he stuck around, as Dave Matter yesterday talked about this on the show. And if you missed any part of the show yesterday, you can go back and listen to it. I would suggest like at 6 o'clock, because then we'll be done here. But KFRU.com, KLIK1240.com is where you can find the podcast. Just find the podcast tab and click on it, and the closers will drop down magically. And you'll be able to listen to the show. But Brad Luce will join us here about 4:20, the third annual Rally for Ryan, taking place on Saturday afternoon. We need the weather to hold off or just kind of divide.
Yeah.
During the course of the day.
Yeah. I think it will.
It'll allow everything. 15,061.
That's right.
To make their way into the Mizzou Arena tomorrow. Missouri also has a chance to win. I need a moment.
You need a moment? Okay. Just take a second. Catch your breath.
To win their fourth. Man.
Wow. Okay.
Fourth straight SEC.
Wow.
Wow.
You're having trouble with this.
Their fourth straight SEC game.
Woo! Man.
I mean, that's some high cotton right there. Thank you. Appreciate that. Meanwhile, back to curling.
Hey, up in Hannibal last night, Columbia College won their men's and women's doubleheader by a combined 40 points.
They grabbed a pair.
But yeah, they won by a combined 40 points. The women won by 38.
Yeah.
The men won by 2.
Yeah, well, it was a little tighter for the guys.
We should go back. I should have gone back and pulled Bob from Wednesday because he talked about literally Wednesday going to practice and practicing fouling up 3 because of these late game situations.
Mm.
So yeah. Yeah.
I think the best late game foul that I have seen up 3 was, and this is one of the few times Jordan Geist did it it was the Tennessee game.
Yep.
Where Tennessee brings the ball over the timeline, and listen, as a ball carrier, whether you're the point guard or whether you're the guard or whether you're taking that ball up, the one thing you do not want to do up 3, down 3 and time winding is turn your back to the basket.
Yeah.
And the Tennessee player did along the sideline. As soon as he turned his back to the basket, Jordan Geist fouled him.
Yep. Enjoy those 2 15-foot shots for a point apiece.
Right.
Because that's not really helping you at all.
No, because then, you're looking at the, okay, well, I got to intentionally miss this one.
Yep.
And hope for the offensive rebound.
Yep.
And the putback. There's a lot of stuff that goes into it. And coaches will look at it and say, well, yeah, but there's also a lot more that goes into making that 3-point shot as well.
Sure.
But that's one shot, possibility of a rebound, putback foul, versus you got to make that first free throw. Miss the second, hope for the rebound and the putback.
I'm definitely team foul up 3.
Team foul up 3.
Always.
But you got to do it smart.
Sure. I say you just do it 91 feet away from the basket. That's the way you do it.
Yeah, but then they look like they're ready to pass that home run pass.
But you also got to run some clock. There's a lot of factors.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely team foul up three.
Team foul up three. Well, that's it paid off for Columbia College yesterday as well. So that picked up a pair of wins. And the women have now won 14 in a row. The guys have won two straight.
By 2 points apiece each time. WCW.
That's right. You know what you got to do? The key to the game?
Win.
Score more than the other team does.
Right.
So they were able to do that for two straight games. They'll be in action again tomorrow at the arena of Southwell. The ladies play at 1. The women will play at 3. Harris Stowe comes to town.
That's right.
Arena of Southwell. Yep. So that's on that side of town. The other side of town, we'll talk with Brad Luce here in just a little bit, but the Missouri Tigers will host Mississippi State. As mentioned, an opportunity to win 4 in a row in the SEC. And this is a Mississippi State team, as Bill Connolly pointed out on Wednesday, is one of the worst shooting three-point teams in the country. Unless they played Mizzou. Well, yeah, there is that. They average in SEC competition, they're actually even worse than they were before the aggregate. They shoot 28% from beyond the arc. Against Missouri, they shot 38%. In SEC play, they're at 25% from beyond the arc. They still shot 38% against Missouri.
Yeah.
Not that that was the entire story, but that was a major portion of it. The other part of that story was the disappearing act of Jontay Porter and Jordan Barnett in that game, combining for 11 points.
Oh. And anytime you really anytime you waste a good Cullen Van Leer game, I mean, that's just a shame.
Yeah, because you don't get many of those opportunities in the trifecta. I keep trying.
Do you?
And not wasting the opportunities. I keep giving them another opportunity in our trifecta. And we will do that at the end of hour number 2 to demonstrate our either...
futility.
Yes.
Yes. We can just stop there. It's pretty much just futility.
Okay. All right. Well, we can do that, I guess. Brad Luce will join us here in a little bit. Also, comments from Michael Porter Jr. He addressed the media today.
What'd he say?
Words.
No.
Strung them together in sentences.
It wasn't Jabberwocky gibberish?
No, it was not.
No?
No. But, interesting comments from him. So we'll have that in hour number 2. Would February 24th be out of line?
No. Although, as many people have pointed out, the February 20th home game against a much less well-regarded Ole Miss team might be the proper welcome back.
Mm-hmm.
However, February 24th might be the proper insert in the starting lineup time.
We got to get Brad in here in a little bit. I'm checking to see here.
Efforting?
Well, everything's an effort. You know that.
I'm well aware.
Yeah. checking. Oh, nope, not there. And looks like we're good for Brad here in a little bit. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick little step aside. Brad Luce, University of Missouri Tiger Scholarship Fund, will join us next to talk about the 3rd annual rally for Ryan. And this is the 3rd one, so you've done 2, but her record is 3-0. We'll have Brad explain how that math works.
Oh, yeah.
That there's only been 2 rally for Ryans, but her record is 3-0. Interesting math, but you know what? Some days, some years, you take those wins wherever you can find them.
More
of the closers right after this.
The closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
There we go. That was much better.
Running the board like I run the board over there.
Yeah, with my elbows.
Elbows and thumbs.
That's right.
I betcha.
It's an expensive board. I shouldn't be treating it like that.
Hey, Denny Matthews only told me not to dance on the equipment once.
That's right.
And I've listened. I've heeded his.
You've done remarkably well. Welcome back. It's the closers here alongside Jay Sparks. I'm George Young. Cameron Thomas has stepped out as he continues his little tour of the building. Cameron Thomas, University of Missouri J School. Also does, if you listen to... The university station, you'll catch him on play-by-play for basketball and for baseball and softball and soccer and
all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, he's a busy, busy guy. And also Sterling Brown from Smithton Middle School joining us here, kind of sitting in and see if we're his cup of tea or shot at Jameson. I don't know.
Either way,
it's good. You can combine him who are we to judge?
Jameson and tea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why are you judging?
I'm not judging.
Yes, you are. You're rolling your eyes in a judgmental fashion.
I'm running through the mixology here, and I'm not. What'd you do with the green tea? It's not a happy output.
See, I got a thumbs up there.
I mean, you definitely wouldn't do it with Earl Grey, because then you just have what's called a civil war in a cup.
And you charge people for that.
Well, yes, you betcha.
Yeah, you betcha. All right, Brad Luce is supposed to be making his way in the third annual rally for Ryan coming up tomorrow afternoon, 1 o'clock the tip time, Missouri and Mississippi State. And this is an opportunity for you to get out there and help support pediatric cancer research as well as raise pediatric cancer awareness. It's been one of those weird stories in that it has brought Missouri basketball fans together over the last couple of years when really they had every excuse in the world to head the other direction.
And they did.
Yes.
But they always came back for
Ryan. This one game.
You betcha.
Yeah. So Missouri is going to be hosting that again tomorrow afternoon, 1 o'clock. And if you're not really familiar with the story, I would head to rallyforryan.org and kind of catch up, but she had pediatric cancer. She is currently in, and I'll let Brad talk about this more when he gets in here, but she has had a much better this year
prognosis
than she's had previous years.
Yeah.
So Brad will talk about that a little bit more. And the interesting tie-in as well is with this is Brad stayed on the staff after the Kim Anderson dismissal and staff departure.
Yep.
So he stayed on with the staff. And they're keeping this going. And as Dave Matter said yesterday here on the show, what better tie-in could you get than your head coach
being a cancer survivor?
Being a cancer survivor.
Betcha. Yeah, it's important. These are the kinds of things that transcend wins, losses, amateur sports, NCAA. Mm-hmm. This transcends all of that. And if you go to rallyforryan.org, not only can you read the story there, but you can donate there. So if you're worried about the weather, if you're someone that doesn't, not currently holding tickets, but you'd like to support it, rallyforryan.org is a great place to go. You can donate from that point, even if you can't make the game.
Right. And a portion of the ticket proceeds, and I'll have to ask Brad when he gets in here, but I do know a portion of the ticket proceeds go toward the Rally for Ryan, and they will also be passing out the ushers and various members of the Mizzou Athletic Department staff will be bringing buckets through for on-site donations and get that carried away from there to help the cause. So, and I know Brad will talk about this when he does get in here, but the other part of this is not just the awareness and research, but also the assistance in funding clinical trials.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of those things, for those of you who are familiar with this type of thing, or if you are, you understand. But for those of you who are not, experimental procedures are not covered. That is out of pocket. And when it's an experimental procedure, it's Lamborghini range on the pricing.
Yep.
So that is what tomorrow is all about. Again, the 1 o'clock tip time, Missouri, Mississippi State. Obviously, there is a game involved in that as well. And Coach Martin was pretty adamant about the fact that, listen, this is a great, great idea, great thing that we're doing and everything, but there is a basketball game to play. And he was really kind of trying to make sure that the guys aren't so focused in on the around that they forget the center of the circle. And that's the game tomorrow afternoon. 1 o'clock tip time, Missouri, Mississippi State. You got that going on. While we're waiting on Brad, let's. Hey, and here he is. Boom. Have a seat. And we'll get with Brad here. Pop him on number four, if you would, there. Yep, 1, 2, 3. Yep, that's the one right there. All right. How you doing?
Good now. Good.
Yeah, I haven't seen you in forever.
Right on time,
it's
right?
It's close.
It's been a good day.
It's been good to see you multiple times. Yeah. Well, it's always good to see you. We were talking about the journey that you've been on this last year after the Kim Anderson era and the staff dismissal. You were able to stick around. What are you currently doing for people who aren't familiar with where to find Brad Luce on the athletic department director?
You know, I get asked that question a lot by my wife, too. What are you doing? What do you do every day? You know what's important?
Is if Jim Sterk and Nick Jost aren't asking you that question.
Amen to that. So I moved over to the Tiger Scholarship Fund, which is the fundraising development arm of the athletic department. And so My title is Director of Development, Major Gifts. And so I beg for money. That's what I do.
Okay. Well,
so watch your wallets while I'm in here.
Well, every time we talk about lines and such like that and over and over, Jay's always watching his wallet because I'm grabbing for it.
Yeah. He takes good care of it something. I don't know. Yeah.
I put his money down on a lot of different things. And part of that kind of extends into the rally for Ryan tomorrow, the begging for money. But and it's as sad as it was that all of this happened, and I'll let you talk about Ryan here in just a second. This was one of those things where it became that For the if it wasn't for the blessings that I've received, that could be me. That could be my kid. Mm-hmm. That could be my cousin, my niece, my nephew, my grandchild. And I think that was the one thing that really snapped it into focus for a lot of people.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a deal where anyone that has a child can easily put themselves in your shoes, if just for a minute. And what I tell people, always ask, you know, how does it feel? You know, how hard is it? And what I tell people is when you put yourself in my shoes and you imagine it was your child, that's exactly how it feels. And it just, you don't get rid of that feeling in 5 minutes, unfortunately. And I think that's the hard thing, is that, you know, people feel bad. You know, like when you turn on the TV and you see a St. Jude commercial,
right,
and it pulls at your heartstrings, they do a great job. But when the next commercial comes on, you move on with your life. And unfortunately for parents of kids with cancer, you don't get to move on from that feeling. It stays with you. And so it has been tough. I'd be lying if I said otherwise. But there's been so much good that has come of this that, you know, I think at the end of the day, God's plan is different for everybody, and his plan is better than mine. This was our journey. And just so much good has come from it. So we're extremely blessed. And I get to say that now, though, too, because my daughter's doing great. Mm-hmm. And so with her doing good and the fact that we've raised awareness and we've been able to raise money, you know, I definitely think we're extremely blessed. And, you know, hopefully we can continue to do what we're doing.
Yep. God also operates on his own calendar.
Amen.
And with that, you mentioned that Ryan is doing well. What is her status? How's her last year been?
So she's no evidence of disease. They won't say remission, but they will say that when we do the scans, we don't see anything. And she's been that way for almost a year now. And, you know, if you saw her right now, outside of the fact she's still growing hair back from the chemotherapy and radiation, she's doing great. She looks like any other regular 7-year-old. You never know anything was wrong with her. And so it's really neat. And one thing we've done, my wife and I have done, is we've really made a concerted effort to appreciate each and every moment that we can. And so, you know, when you walk in, you see your kids playing on the couch, watching TV or doing something out in the cul-de-sac, you know, those are really special moments for us. And we get to have those now because she is feeling so good.
That's cool.
Brad, as she's gotten older throughout this process, I mean, you go through the Rally for Ryan. It's kind of a yearly event. So she's gotten older through each stage. Has she embraced it? Does she like what's going on? Does she like, you know, that she's a part of raising awareness and her journey is out there for so many people?
I think so. I think as she's gotten a little bit older, she's had to grow up so fast. I think all kids with cancer do, unfortunately, but she's a little more mature. She's a little older. And, you know, to be honest with you, she feels good now. She, you know, and because she feels good, I think she enjoys it a little more. And she understands what we're doing. She sees all our friends that aren't doing as well at the hospital. And, you know, she understands what we're trying to do is raise money to help those kids. And so I think she takes pride in that. Now, she's still extremely shy. So if she walks out on that court and has her head in her mom's shoulder, I mean, that is what it is. But I do think, you know, she's definitely taking it in and enjoying a little bit. She kind of likes to go around town now. If she'll see a Rally for Ryan sign or something, she'll go, "Hey, that's me. I'm Ryan. I'm Rally for Ryan." So that's kind of neat.
Yeah, in rallyforryan.org is where you can find more information, or you can actually make the donation if you're not able to make it tomorrow's basketball game. From the whole working with Kim and now with your role, Brad, in the Tiger Scholarship Fund, what was the process like of getting this again for the third time? And it seems like it's a tradition, but there's a lot of hoops to have to jump through. So what was that process like? Because you're working with, you got to train a whole new administration.
Yeah, there was no process. I'll be honest with you. It was almost just assumed that we were going to do it, to be honest with you. I don't think anybody even second-guessed the fact that we weren't going to do it. Marketing came to me in the fall and said, "Hey, do you want February 10th or do you want February, whatever, as the date for the Rally for Ryan game. And I'm like, yeah, either one. We're good. Whatever you want to do, we're going to do it. And so I mean, to say I was surprised, I'm not surprised, because Jim Stirk is just a first-class human being. Brian White's an unbelievable person. And so the administration and within our department is incredible. And so I think they've seen the good that's come of this. So I'm not surprised, but I was a little taken aback by how easy it was, and just the fact that everybody just said, you know what, we're doing this, and whether you like it or not.
After they approved it, what did you immediately ask for then, so knowing that they were that easy to get along with?
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm happy with what I got. Okay, I got a paycheck, I got insurance, and we got Rally for Ryan. I'm good.
Yeah, for
not
sure.
Pushing my luck.
When you went through the transition from the Kim Anderson staff to the Konzo Martin staff, and you read the bio on Konzo as he came in and saw that he was a cancer survivor, what was your guys' first conversation, at least when the situation with Ryan and your situation came up between the two of you? Have you, you know, what was there a shared bond? Did Konzo, you know, open up about that at all?
So when Konzo first got the job, about a week after he got the job, I went up to his office just to introduce myself and let him know I was here, whatever he needed. That, you know, even though I was on the last staff, I wanted to see them be successful. I really wanted to see our returning guys be successful. And so, you know, whatever he needed, I'm here for him. And, you know, through that conversation, the topic of cancer came up, and we had about a 30 to 45 minute conversation just about, you know, his trials and tribulations going through, you know, fighting cancer and beating it, and then you know what my daughter's going through. And so he has a ton of empathy for what we're going through, which is great, and he's definitely on board with what we're doing 100%.
You as the dad have a special bond with Ryan, and the doctors have a different bond, and there are other people that have bonds with Ryan, but is there a different bond with Konzo and Ryan, knowing that they both have battled cancer?
Yeah, I think with Coach Martin, it's just a matter of, he just understands, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't think I even understand, to be honest with okay. you. I mean, I watched my daughter go through it, but he fully understands. And so I think, I think anybody that's battled cancer and defeated it, that I think you know, it's kind of, that's their own special club. You know, that's a whole other set of people that I can't even begin to understand their toughness and their endurance and all of that. And so, yeah, I would think that's, you know, goes for anybody that has mm-hmm. cancer.
Some of the most endearing images that have come out of the Rally for Ryan games are the players before and after, and especially the fact that they've won, and the players always coming to Ryan and holding her and talking to her. Like, when you get a chance to talk to somebody who's been here, like Kevin Puryear, you know, who's gone through it a couple times and gotten on that court and won during seasons when that didn't happen very often, and won for Ryan, you know, how important is something like that to these guys? And then how did they impart that to the new players? How do they discuss that with the new players?
Well, I don't know, to be honest with you. I haven't been in those conversations, but I do know this. I know that those Rally for Ryan games the last 2 years meant something special to our players. And there's no doubt in my mind that they play hard every game, mm-hmm. but there was a little something extra in those games. And you could see it in their eyes in the locker room prior to the games that, you know what, coach, we got your back. We're going to take care of this for you. And, you know, we had two really long losing streaks going into those games, and both games jump up and win those games. I mean, it really just says a lot about those kids and the fact that they really do care about Ryan and the cause. And, you know, it was really special for me as their coach and as Ryan's dad to see that they did take it so seriously and it meant so much to them. And so I can guarantee you that, you know, Kevin Puryear and Jordan Geist and Jordan Barnett and Reed Nicko, those guys will definitely let everybody in that locker room know what this game means. And, you know, again, they play hard every game, mm-hmm. so I don't anticipate them not playing hard. But, I think especially the returning guys will have a little something extra for this one.
Brad Luce with us here on the Closers. Rally for Ryan tomorrow, 1 o'clock tip time, Missouri and Mississippi State. Again, rallyforryan.org is where you can get more information and also make a donation. Who's your favorite player?
Whoever scores them, I don't know.
Wow, she's really easy.
Oh, where's her favorite? I think she's my favorite player.
No, not about you.
Yeah.
I mean, you like to think it was about you right
that's
now,
a
but
good, that's a good question. You know, she's so shy that she never really. And she'll be the first one to tell you. She doesn't hardly like ever watch the game. She goes to the games, but she'll never pay. She's watching the Golden Girls and Truman the Tiger, and she's worried about when she's going to get her next hot dog. She doesn't really care about the games. Now, her brother's a big Cullen Van Leer fan.
Okay.
So I don't know if that does anything for you, but that's all I got.
Not really. Nice anecdote.
CBL for three. Yeah.
There you go. All right. That would work. Okay. This is tomorrow, 1 o'clock. And I know earlier today when you were making your comments, you had mentioned that Ryan is 3-0. And I'm going back through the schedule and I say, all right, rally for Ryan, Tennessee, win. Rally for Ryan last year, win. How'd you come up with three? I mean, that looks like some creative tax time math.
It's selective.
Okay.
Very selective.
All right, very good.
But the Auburn game last year in the SEC tournament, that was on Ryan's birthday.
Okay.
And so before the game, our guys were joking around about, like, hey, it's Ryan's birthday. This becomes an impromptu rally for Ryan game. And so we go ahead and we chalk that one up. That's got a little asterisk next to it, but we're still giving her the win.
Okay, and Purrier hit the game-winning shot on that one. So
there you go.
Yeah,
betcha.
So that was a good one. All right, for tomorrow, again, 1 o'clock the tip time is – what is the donation process? Is it the same with the portion of the ticket sales and such?
So we're not doing the ticket sales this year. Good problem to have. Arena sold out for the season, so there was no tickets to sell. So what we're going to do is, as people come through the doors, we're going to have a 50-50 raffle that they can participate in. And then we're going to just take straight cash donations. Mm-hmm. We'll have people with the buckets taking cash donations. We're also going to have a silent auction going on in the North Concourse with some really cool Mizzou items that you can't get anywhere else. And so definitely something for – if you're a Mizzou fan and you're looking for – or you're looking to buy something for that special Mizzou fan in your life, this is definitely the place to be because there's some really cool items. We're going to do a text to donate option during the game, which if everybody that went to the KU game will remember that. So we'll have that. And then we'll sell T-shirts. And we've already sold a ton of them at the Tiger Team store, but we're going to have more T-shirts to sell, which will be good. $15. And then 12 of the 15, we got to pay for the T-shirt, but 12 of the 15 will go towards Rally for Ryan and that. So lots of different options. And you can always go to rallyforryan.org.
What's the running tally?
Currently, we're up to just under $15,000 with just T-shirts sold by our Greek organizations. That doesn't count the T-shirts that people have just come in off the streets and bought. And so, honestly, I don't even know what that tally. I do know that they had sold out of T-shirts and they had to place another order, which is good.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's good.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had 15,000 just from the Greeks doing their fundraisers, which was incredible.
And what's the 2-year tally? Is
we're at $104,000, so now we're at 119. Count the 15.
Yeah, okay.
Give it to us.
And that is directed. That's specific direction, correct? That there are targeted disbursements for that.
Absolutely. So what we do with the money is we take it and we try to do it in $100,000 clumps if we can. And then once we get to 100,000 at a time, then we'll take that and put it towards a specific clinical trial that we deem worthy. And we deal with a lot of board doctors, different organizations that have medical boards that vet these things for us. So we make sure that with the money's going to where it needs to go and it's not getting wasted. So we've done two so far. We did one at Memorial Sloan Kettering where Ryan's being treated. We did one at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. And then we've got the money right now for the third that we're sitting on, and we're dealing with some different we're dealing with a group out of New York called the Band of Parents and their medical board, advisory board, that's helping us make the decision now. And I hope to make that decision sometime within the next month, but we're definitely not going to rush it. We're going to make sure we make a good, solid decision with that.
All right, Brad Luce with us here on The Close. Again, it's tomorrow afternoon, 1 o'clock the tip time, Missouri, Mississippi State. If you can't get to the game, because it is sold out, we do expect all 15,061 of you to attend. That would include those of you in the cushy seats as well. Rallyforryan.org is where you can also get not only additional information, but make your donation there as well. Buy a T-shirt!
Absolutely.
Right?
Hey, and if you're not going to come, take that ticket, go find a rich uncle, and give it to the rich uncle.
That's
somebody with a thick wallet and a big checkbook so we can do a little bit of good.
All right, Jay, here's my ticket.
The friend that most recently won a Scratchers lotto, you know.
Who's the young guy in Florida that won the Mega Millions? Can we get that guy?
Yeah.
Is he my guy?
Let's do that.
His accountant. His accountant and his attorney have his number. Brad, thank you very much. I really appreciate the time. I look forward to a time when we can get Ryan in here to talk about this as well as something that she has been through and is done with.
Yeah, that would be great. But she's still a little shy for that, so good luck with that.
Now, Jay was kind of shy when he got in here, too, to start with.
Look what you've done to him.
I know. Look what's happened. So.
Right.
Right. Thank you for the time, sir. I really do appreciate it. And we'll see you tomorrow, right?
Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. That is Brad Luce, University of Missouri Tiger Scholarship Fund. Rally for Ryan tomorrow, 3rd annual, 1 o'clock the tip time, Missouri, Mississippi State. Get on out there. A chance for the Tigers to not only win 4 in a row, but for you to help out pediatric cancer research. We'll be right back.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Hey, welcome back to The Closers here alongside Jay Sparks. I'm George Young. Thanks to Brad Luce for joining us in this hour. Again, Rally for Ryan tomorrow, version 3.0. Get on out there.
Trying to go 4-0.
Yes.
In version 3.0.
Yes. And you're right. Wait a minute. That math doesn't work. That's all right. I let Jay do all the figuring on his abacus.
That's right. It all works out.
It was the Auburn game last year at the SEC tournament.
Yep.
That was actually on Ryan Luce's birthday. And Kevin Puryear gave her a wonderful birthday present by winning the game. So, then they get another crack at it, by the way, this year. This time the tournament is at Scottrade in St. Louis.
That's right.
So, it's just a quick little drive down I-70.
That's right. Easy to get to.
Yep.
Easy to watch Michael Porter play.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. Wait, what? Where'd that come from?
Oh, sorry.
Voice.
Alrighty. Okay. Alrighty.
All right, so that's where you're going, huh?
I don't know. Sure. Okay.
We'll hear from Michael Porter Jr. in hour number two. He met the media earlier this afternoon, and there were a couple of nuggets taken out of that one. We'll play the whole thing for you in hour number two, but the couple of takeaways I had on that one were, one, he's not worried about re-injury.
He's carrying himself as though he's not.
Yes.
Yes.
He is saying he is not worried about injury. He is saying that he hopes to be cleared at his next doctor's visit, which is supposed to be the next 10 days. He is saying that it will not take him very long to get back into game shape. Yeah. That part could be a rude awakening.
Yeah.
He is saying that he's tired of the speculation and all the circus that's going on around him, and wish people would talk more about Missouri Tiger basketball and what the great season that they're having, as opposed to jump shots, dunks, at practice, not at practice, at the rec center, not at the rec center.
Is he elevating? Is he jumping?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll play that whole thing for you coming up.
Yeah.
News out of this thing I don't think is going to die.
Anytime
soon. We got a couple of minutes here, but let's address this. South Carolina's athletic director, after conducting an exhaustive and thorough 2-hour investigation regarding the incidents that were alleged to have occurred at Colonial Life Arena a couple of weeks ago when Missouri women took on South Carolina.
By interviewing 14 event staff.
Seven.
Right.
Seven.
Yeah.
You were twice as confident as normal.
Right. Well, you said 2 hours, so, you know.
For actions that took place in the tunnel, which were not part of the original allegation.
Okay.
He's still waiting on something, isn't he?
Yeah, from the postandcourier.com, USC's Ray Tanner still waiting for public apology from Missouri AD to Dawn Staley. South Carolina Athletics Director Ray Tanner confirms, spoken with AD Jim Stirk, and the conversation remains private. Says, I will not disclose any contents of the conversation, Tanner said. I'll just say that our commissioner is very concerned about what transpired. He called us together to have a meeting. We discussed it at length. I'm hoping in the near future there will be some sort of resolution. Now, here's, you talk about burying the lead. The fourth paragraph is this.
Well, it is a South Carolina paper.
Sure. So. Staley confirmed Friday that she has not received an apology from Stirk. Okay, that seems very straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
Asked if she was considering legal action, Staley said that's to be announced at a later date. Are you kidding me?
What's up with that?
First off,
yes.
Who's prompting and asking that?
What is that, just the reporter fishing for a line?
Right. And Dawn just feeding it, feeding a feeding a later date because it's not. Yeah. Yeah. Tanner goes on to say, let me make one thing perfectly clear. Jim Sterk and I are not at odds. We're colleagues in this league. We work well together, he said. But I was clear that my opinion is a public apology would be appropriate. I don't think he's offended by my statement.
Okay, they've just been, they were called to the principal's office.
Right.
For a meeting. Right? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. And it was apparently resolved?
Well, the way Tanner's saying it, I'm hoping in the near future there will be some sort of resolution coming out of the commissioner meeting.
Uh-huh.
Which I assume was, or at least Tanner's taking it as such, that Jim Sterk will make a public apology.
Uh-huh.
Meanwhile, Ray Tanner, kick rocks, man.
Pound sand.
Yeah.
442-8255. Got time to get to this, and then we got to exit out stage left. Good afternoon. You're on the closers.
Hey, sorry. I listened online, and I know that you moved on from this, but the Porter Jr. comment today that nobody's talking about the most tantalizing thing that he said today, and that is, I'm not 100% certainly going to the NBA draft.
Yeah.
I know, okay. But I mean, it's fun to think about, at least.
It is, but okay.
Well, they want 15061 to be the announced attendance all next year too.
Yep, that'd be nice. All right, real quick to you. Good afternoon. You're on the closers.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to score a couple of wrestling tickets to the closure for MU, and I just wanted to thank you all for that. And I want to encourage people to, of course, their home season anyway is over with now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people want to have a good time. That is a good time over there.
All right. Well, and, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks. So, appreciate the call. We got. I apologize for cutting you off, but we got to scoot. No, all right. Thanks.
Okay.
Appreciate it. And we're hoping to be able to do that again next season. Hour two, hopefully, next up.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.